But what is Moorish man? Not man, Moorish man. We're Moorish Marmon.
Yep.
We're Moorish men, but this is about magazine on RTR.
Good morning, listeners. You're welcome to Moorish Mag on RTR FM 92.1, the sound alternative. You have Nick Abraham here today, and I'm running a little bit solo. I have a little bit of a help here with a colleague at the moment, but I'll introduce her in a moment. But if you're wondering where Jim is, Jim's off in Wangatha country. Wangatha country is, you may be familiar with the goldfields, and you may be a bit more familiar with goldfields in Kalgoorlie. That's where Jim is at the moment. He's up there doing some important work around the Solar Generations people up there in the goldfields. So, Jim, if you are listening, stay safe, and we look forward for when you get back to Perth and do the appropriate work that needs to be done up there. Well, listeners, it's nice and warm and dry from the weather that we've had through this muckery season, and stay warm and fresh. I just want to introduce Lorraine. He's my co-host here. Good morning, Lorraine.
Hi, Nick. How are you going?
Good, good, good. How about you? You're a little bit nervous, a little bit thing? You've never experienced this before?
A little bit nervous, yeah, but okay. I'm sure we'll get through this morning, yeah.
No problems. Okay, so the first thing we'll do now is just to introduce yourself to the listeners. Who's your mob, where you're from, and...
Okay. So my name is Lorraine Travers, Nee Ogilvie. I'm a Yamiji Nanda woman, connected strongly to the Murchison region, Kalbarri, Geraldton area. I've lived up in the Kimberleys for previously for about 30 years, and found my way back down here in Perth, and I'm currently working with Jim at the WA Stolen Generation Aboriginal Corp.
That's a mouthful there.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Welcome to Moorish Mag there, Lorraine, and hopefully you'll get a little bit of gist of it, and hopefully you'll feel like we're just sitting here, we're having a yarn, and even though, as Jim says, there's thousands of listeners out there, we can't see them, but we know that they're very connected to us, and we'll continue with our little yarn and tell the story about the program today, which will cover a couple of interviews around homelessness and homelessness issues that, of course, Jim can't. Even though he's not here, his son Daniel's going to be our first interview. So he's going to be talking about the homeless issues.
And, for sure, Nick. It's going to be good to listen to hear what Daniel has to say.
Yes, because it is a big issue with homeless, and it has been for a long, long time. But it'd be great to see what Daniel can bring to our audience and to our community today about those issues. I guess later on we'll be talking about, another interview with an ABC personality that is operating somewhere else in Australia. Hopefully we can track him down and he can come and have a bit of a talk about what he's up to. We've got our fingers crossed at whether we can track
him down.
That'll
be great.
And that'll be good. But in that process, I guess we'll join and enjoy a bit of music.
For sure.
The NAIDOC theme, and we'll talk a little bit more about the NAIDOC theme. And have a good time for this short 1 hour period.
That's good.
You're listening to the Moorish Mag podcast on RTR FM 92.1.
But as I mentioned, that I am sitting here with Lorraine Travers, who's watching and learning. And,
you're going to teach me the ropes, Rick.
Well, I'll do what best I can. But yeah. Most of the time, Lorraine, this is about being natural.
Yeah, for sure.
And stuff. So as I mentioned earlier, that NAIDOC Week theme is to heal country. And Heal Country calls for the stronger measures to recognise, protect and maintain all aspects of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture and heritage. Country is inherent to our identity. It sustains our lives in every aspect, spiritually, physically, emotionally, socially and culturally. It is more than a place. When we talk about country, it's usually spoken like a person, as if we have a personal connection to our Budger, our country, which to me sometimes when I think about that, Budger is like Mother Earth, and Mother Earth is the Noongar word for mother is Ngank, and that's that sort of connection back to family and a person. Country is family, Ken Law, L-A-W, Law, L-O-R-E. So that's the legality ones and the cultural laws, ceremonies, traditions, and language. For Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, it has been this way since the dawn of time.
Nothing like being back on country, Nick.
It is. And, you know, I guess, you know, we could talk a little bit more about that stuff, but being back on country is a very beautiful place when people, sometimes they feel like they go and they say, I feel home.
For sure,
I feel like home, you know. So through our languages and our songs, we speak of country. Through our ceremonies and our traditions, we sing to and celebrate country, and the country speaks to us. But increasingly, we worry about country. And that's just the first part of the NAIDOC Week theme that we're going to be talking about today. We're going to sort of break it down and stretch it out so that it gives us a chance for the words to sink into country, to sink into people, to sink into our minds and our thinkings about and asking ourselves that question. Good morning. Hopefully, Daniel, are you there, Daniel?
Yes, I am.
Good morning, Daniel. Good to hear your voice again. Daniel Morrison on the phone here from... I got a little bit of a memory blank there. Daniel, you'd have to tell us who you are and where you're from and what's our issue here for today?
Yeah, One Denning Aboriginal Corporation. I'm the CEO here.
Right, okie doke. Before we go any further, Daniel, your dad's not here today, but I'm sitting here today, but somehow the bloodlines are still connected in here with your interview with us today, because he's away in Wangatha country doing some important business up there. But I know you're doing some important business down here. And just before we go, just refresh our listeners and our audience out there about Daniel Morrison. Who are you and who's your mob and where you're from?
Okay. So Noongar Yamaji Gidja. So my mum's family from Carnarvon Shark Bay, and then also have roots up to Halls Creek. And my dad's family, Noongar, and a bit of Yamaji, bit of Wangai, have roots to Wangai country, Yamaji country, and Noongar country. So, but most strongest in Katanning down to Albany out to Bremer Bay.
Lovely.
Born and bred in Perth, and love Whadjuk City, which I feel is my home.
Well,
although
thank
we
you.
Don't have roots to Whadjuk, but
Well, yeah, most of the time, you know, home is where you feel home is, and if you've been there for a long time, you have that connection. But Daniel Morrison from Wanganing CEO, welcome to Mortgage Bag, and you have been here before, and you spoke about a lot of issues and stuff and what you're dealing with our community out there, and, you know, we're sort of interested to hear what you have to say today. But just before we go any further, I just want to introduce you to Lorraine Travers, who's my co-host today, who's sitting in and just listening and seeing how your dad does all this brilliant work and trying to pick up some of the clues from what I'm going through today with.
Good morning. Good morning, Daniel.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. We have met a number of times, but
Well, Daniel, so homelessness issues.
Yes, so we're very excited to introduce Boorloo Biddy Maya, which obviously stands for Perth Pathway to Housing, sorry. And so it's a new program, new facility that's going to be operating as of August, which will be located at 300 Wellington Street. It's currently being run as a youth hostel association. But that's been sold, and so the state government were lucky enough to get a lease for the facility and then sublease that building to One Denning in partnership with Noongar Mai Mai to run Boorloo Biddy Maya. So a facility to support homeless and rough sleepers. As you know, there's a large proportion of Aboriginal people within the homeless cohort that are rough sleeping around the CBD. And that's been for a number of years. So both One Denning and Noongar Mai Mai have been lobbying and advocating on behalf of that community and that cohort with government to get better facilities and better services to really get them off the streets, but then also support them to get into sustainable accommodation going forward. Every night we go to sleep, we think of the people on the streets in this cold weather. And it's not good for them, and it's definitely not sustainable going forward. It's too cold for anyone to be out there in the cold and rough sleeping. So we're very excited. We're in the process now of scaling up the program and both our services and working with the Department of Communities as well and City of Perth to make sure that it's a successful approach and successful program that will service not only Aboriginal people but mainstream as well, the wider community. But predominantly there is a high percentage of Aboriginal people. So the program itself has been developed to support Aboriginal people in the belief that if we get it right for Aboriginal people, we get it right for everyone. And so the program itself will be beneficial to both Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal.
Rough sleepers and homelessness, yep.
The program itself, it will eventually sleep up to 100 people, but that's we'll be scaling up over a period of time. So first off, we're starting on much smaller numbers and then slowly work our way up because it's a brand new service, brand new program, and we could only make it public and start recruiting as of yesterday. So we've, because we had to wait for the government to make it public, and then we can start recruitment. So we haven't even got the staff on board yet. So that's why we're going to be starting low numbers and then slowly building the service up. So very, very excited. It's a new and exciting program for One Jennings. And I can also vouch and say the same for Ngā Mai Mai. We work very close and work very good together. So it's just something that our community needs, and no Aboriginal community control organisation is currently running a hostel of this size and in the homelessness space. So it's something that it's a shift in the right direction that we're getting more ACOs involved. ACO as in the Aboriginal Community Controlled Organisation. And just need more Aboriginal community and leadership to be involved in these such areas as homelessness and rough sleeping.
Well, Daniel, sounds like you and Ngā Mai Mai and Wanganing have making inroads into dealing with our rough sleepers and our homelessness, and that's been an issue, way back since I was a kid running around East Perth and the places and stuff that, some of our people are looking for home and that. But, and of course, you have to start short and small, don't you, to get the infrastructure into place and then slowly build up. But it sounds interesting for and exciting for, 100, up to 100 people to eventually be looked after and assisted around this homelessness and guided into, I guess, a bit more permanent housing.
Yeah, definitely. It's very interesting. We're going in eyes open, though. It is a complex area. A lot of these people that are experiencing rough sleeping and homelessness, it hasn't happened overnight that they've become homeless. There's a lot of issues, a lot of impacts that have happened over years and months and years that have got these people into this predicament where they're finding themselves homeless, whether it be alcohol and drugs, mental health or general health or family domestic violence or so on. So there's a lot of issues that we need to support and put wraparound supports in once we've got them in the facility and, wrap around that support so they can address those as well as get into a sustainable accommodation. So we are going in eyes open. And understanding that it's not an easy area to work in, but it's definitely a passion of the organisation, both Wanganing and Ngā Mai Mai. And we want to really make a difference and see a difference in the community, and particularly with this cohort around rough sleeping and homelessness, that it shouldn't be acceptable in this day and age in this such a lucky country, such a rich country. We should be all doing more as a community and a society. So it's great to have the opportunity So we look forward to being able to come back in a few months' time, 6 months' time, and really talk about how it's going, and really keep the community informed as to what's happening, and that it's, we're getting to the bottom of it, and hopefully we can. And this is not the only initiative as well. There's a number of initiatives that we're involved in, but and also the state government are part of, with the All Pathways Lead to Home, the 10-year strategy, which the Department of Community is leading, but there's a number of ACOs and NGOs that are part of that strategy. So it's something that we all want to be part of, and we all want to see. We don't want to see it no more. We want to address it, and so everyone deserves a home and a safe and secure accommodation for themselves and their families.
That's right, Daniel, and it's great to hear that our Aboriginal organisations are getting down into the front line, so that so that we can try to address these homeless issues and stuff. And you mentioned that it's not that simple. When our audience out there may think that, okay, now we've got something happening and stuff there, it should address a lot of things. But towards that homelessness process of having a safe home and that stuff there, but there's a lot of issues that our community carry, and you mentioned some of them, and I think some of our audience out there may be aware through this through Mortage Mag and other programs out there that tell some of the issues, but it's great to hear that you're going in there with your eyes open, because it's not that simple to address some of these issues. There are a lot of traumas and intergenerational stuff that needs a lot of addressing, and it's we're in the 21st century, and we're still trying to tackle these things. So keep up the great work, Maya Meyer and Wanganing.
No worries. Thank you very much.
No worries.
And share with you, and look forward to coming back and sharing the success.
And I like the word, the title, Boorooloo. There you go. That's some of our listeners there might have learnt another word there for Noongar. Boorooloo is the old word for the city of Perth. Boorooloo. Boorooloo Biddy. Biddy is a path, and Meyer is home. So beautiful wording, Perth pathway to home. Keep up the great work, Daniel. And Meyer and Wanganing and all the staff out there. And we look forward for you to coming back in about a couple of months' time to go on the progress, and hopefully see some small little wins towards how homeless and the issues that a lot of our community, not only our community, the inclusive process of a lot of people out there that are living rough and struggling, and hopefully we can make that, hopefully there's hope for tomorrow.
You're listening to the Mortage Mag podcast on RTRFM 92.1.
I'm just welcome back to Mortage Mag, RTRFM 92.1, with Nick Abraham here and Lorraine Travers, and filling in for Jim today, who's away, but we're having a reasonably good time. Time's almost over there, Lorraine. It goes quick.
Before we know it, that's
before
it.
Before we know
it.
But I just want to go on the international stage now, and I just want to send a cheerio out to Ash Barty for flying the flag for Australia over there in the Wimbledon finals.
She's
making a truth of the semi-finals, and hopefully each game, as I say, each game's another game, and hopefully she can fly the flag and continue her work up there. We send our regards and best wishes to Ash over there, but also to our Olympians that are heading over to Tokyo, which is going to be interesting stuff. But we've also heard last night that Patty Mills is going to be one of the along with Kat Campbell, that flag bearers. I hope I got that name right. But well done, Patty, and our team over there, and Kate as well. And again, we'll be sitting back here in our armchairs and supporting you as best we can. Back to a national level, of course. We're back to a national level. One of our national sports is AFL. And through the week, we had Karratha Wurundjeri man Sean Silk Burgoyne, who made history on Saturday night, becoming the first Indigenous player to play 400 games, 400
wow.
AFL games. And, of course, Sean plays for Hawthorn, and he's played for a number of clubs, but 400 games. And he joins, some of the AFL legends like Brent Harvey, Michael Tuck, Justin Fletcher and Kevin Bartlett to achieve that feat.
That's amazing, Nick. I'm not really up to date or up to speed with my footy, but I guess that's quite a milestone.
And I guess the question is that, people are looking and say, well, is 500 on the card. But we will leave that to Sean. But well done, Sean, and having that achievement. And of course, all our yes, and all our other Indigenous footballers out there that are heading towards those targets. But I just want to bring you back to, I guess, more of a local level now. And I've only just found this out last night and over the news there that, you know, one of our friends of Mudich Mag and has been in this studio and had a conversation with him many times live and also on the phone. But, you know, Delson Stokes, who's a Noongar Whangatha man, who was escorted out of the Perth hospital for asking a sandwich after having
a... Yes, I saw that story on Facebook, Nick. Delson was... communicating to everyone out there on Facebook that the treatment that he was given at one of our hospitals here in Perth.
Yes, and it's sad to hear that. And when I heard that, and I saw a lot of the support coming in from the community, and that you know that sometimes this is something that doesn't really get to the media. But you know, a person like this fellow here who's just come out of surgery and is a diabetic and. He knows his well-being, and he was asking for a coffee and a sandwich, and unfortunately the hospital couldn't cater for that process, and from his words that he was escorted out of the building before the doctors even discharged him.
Yes.
So hopefully some more work will be going into that investigation. But Delson and family, we just hope that you know, you were doing okay and well, and you're recovering from your surgery, and also the mishap of how the hospital treated you, and hopefully you can have some sort of compromise around how you're feeling at the moment. But we, you know, our cheerios go out to you, and stay strong and stay safe. And so that's where we went. We went nationally, we went internationally, and now we're back home to sadly a sad story back home.
You're listening to the Mordich Mag podcast on RTRFM 92.1.
I believe on the line we have our next interviewee, Craig Quatermain. I think he would be familiar with a lot of our West Australian audiences and even possibly our national audience. But Craig Quatermain, are you there?
Hello, Andrew. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. It's good to hear your voice.
I'm sorry that I was... in another meeting where I would have been on sooner because, you know, this is the problem with working at the big ABC and TV and radio now. Everyone wants to have meetings and bring cake and stuff like that.
Righty, okay. It's
a little bit hard to get out about.
No, so before we go any further, I've got Lorraine Travers on the line with me that's joining in today because Jim's away doing some important business up in the goldfields. But, you know, Craig, just to give
out... Good morning.
Just to give our listeners a reminder of who you are and where you're from and who's your mob.
My name's Craig Quatermain. If you don't know the first name, you probably more than likely know the last one. But that is Wagakai Noongar from down south, but they grew up in Carnarvon. My mum is a Bunjuma lady from Carnarvon as well. But, yeah, that's where they grew up. But it's really hard to say where I'm from because I grew up everywhere and... I mean, I even grew up in Kununurra, and the minute I say I'm from Perth, all them mob jar me too, so I can't really win.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, proudly representing WA.
Well, thank you, and welcome back on the airwaves to Wajup Noongar Butcher here. Now, Craig, I've got the headline here saying he's an ABC personality, and he's based in Brisbane. So I'm going to have to rely on you to fill in the gaps there and let our audience know. What have you been up to, Craig?
So much, whereas I was over in Sydney, originally from Perth, was in the mines, then left to start journalism, which took me to Sydney, then to Darwin, where I left the ABC and started at NITV as the Northern Territory correspondent, then came back to Perth for about 4 years as the West Australian correspondent for NITV, which was TV journalism. Then I started doing stand-up comedy, which led me to a TV job over in Sydney back in about 2018 and failed there and ended up coming back to Perth as well. So it was all over the shop, but there was just that period in 2019 where comedy, it was very hard to find work in Perth. And, you know, that's when I was even doing a little bit of work with Jim on the show. And then an opportunity came up in Brisbane, of which my wife and I moved over and things have just gone pretty well since then. I now present a Sunday evenings program. I've taken over from Rhianna Patrick, who was a bit of a stalwart for years. on Sunday evening from the ABC. I've taken over her show on the radio, and now I am also presenting a couple of TV programs on the ABC with Backroads and my new one, Moving to the Country.
Moving through the country.
Moving to the country.
Moving to the country. Okay, so that sounds very interesting, what you've been from the mines, growing up everywhere, from mine stand-up comedy, and now back into Brisbane, and it sounds like you're on Sunday evenings would be prime-time TV, almost.
That's radio.
Radio, okay.
The TV shows are Friday night, 7:30 tomorrow night on the ABC. It's pretty crazy. I mean, there was no real opportunities for me in Perth for a good year.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult to find, and it's just crazy what happens if you just change your situation, how things can improve and how dramatically they can change.
Well, yeah. I guess the circumstances, those forces, the issues of where you have to go to find work to keep food on your table and a roof over your head and keep the bank manager at bay.
It is a bit difficult to be a, especially being a politically motivated Indigenous comedian in Australia, not the most marketable thing in the world, so you've got to be kind of good at a lot of things. And, you do. My dad always taught me, you make your own luck, and the more irons in the fire, so, just get whatever you do, just be good at it, and you'll eventually get somewhere.
Well, that's it, and I guess that sort of, brings you and gets you a lot of learnings and a lot of different skills around there, so that when you do find that niche of what you're good at, you do it very, very well. And so I'm interested to hear a little bit more about these shows that you have in the...
With pleasure. Backroads, I did back in September last year, but it aired maybe 2 months ago on the ABC. It was a huge opportunity because so many... crazy things have happened for me because of COVID, actually. Before COVID, everything was made in Melbourne or Sydney, whether it be TV or radio. Mm-hmm. So if you weren't in those cities, there was no real opportunities. And the minute lockdowns happened, because I had all these other skills as a video journalist and a comedian and a writer, when they were looking for somebody to take over for one episode of Backroads, fell into that, and I got to present this amazing story about... Cooktown in Queensland, where it's the place where Captain Cook landed, and the bomber people up there, they helped him get out. I met a couple of historians and an amazing family up in Cooktown. It was a really fascinating place and a huge opportunity, one I wouldn't have gotten if it wasn't for COVID, and that's available on ABC iView if anybody wants to check it out on the latest season of Backroads. That was so much fun.
Well, yes, and of course COVID has made a lot of disruptions into the normal flow of life and where a lot of productions and things are happening. So, but it's great that you can benefit from those disruptions, so that I guess create some more new pathways.
Yeah. Well, it is. I mean, I couldn't do stand-up comedy, which is how I was paying my bills. I couldn't do that for a couple of months, which for a lot of people, it was a terrible situation to be in, but I was just fortunate enough that other opportunities came. And then because Queensland has so much, like it's a big place, a big state and a lot of people, mm-hmm. but it still very much feels like the small country town compared to Sydney and Melbourne. And so when Moving to the Country came along, I've done a little bit of TV, but they were just looking for somebody who grew up in the country, which, if you discount the 5 or so 6 years in Gira Wayne, where I was, going to school, Kununurra and Carnarvon, Newman, Northam, all these places just lived everywhere. They were looking for a TV host, and I don't know how we did it, but we managed to film 6 episodes of this amazing TV show all over the country, everywhere except WA, unfortunately. We just couldn't get into Western Australia throughout that period. So, it's cool because we... really mm-hmm. get to go meet some people that are starting their own businesses, which is, I'm hoping we get a second season, because I've just gotten a few messages and emails from really, really promising little company. I don't want to go too soon because mm-hmm. they may not get the chance, but they're in Carnarvon and they're starting a business, and I would love for them to be on the next season. So, dare you make plans in these days.
True. true, too. They can very quickly get shuffled around, and you've got to make that alternatives or that adjustments. But, well, Craig, it's good to hear from you, and it's great to see that you've come with those opportunities, and, you know, you're making just about every post a winner.
Oh, having a crack. Don't get me wrong. There were a couple of losses before this happened.
That's all right. They're all part of the learning curve.
Yeah, you've got to bottom out before you can come back up. But I'm just glad Muddish Mag's still gone.
Well, yes. Well, you know, we've just been interrupted by COVID. We're back for our first week this week. And, of course, last year was big disruptions and stuff there. But, you know, we've got to move on and keep going on and take those opportunities like you have to present and do what we need to do when we have to do it and in the circumstances that we have to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Okay, then, Craig, thanks for talking to you. And hopefully we'll catch up with you a little bit later on or in the future when... And I may even see you back in the studio here when the borders come down and more freedom comes to the world or our part of the world.
Do some shows in Perth and Western Australia would be amazing. But thank you for having us on. And, yeah, hopefully see you soon.
No worries. Thank you, Craig.
Thanks,
Craig. Keep up the good work.
Take care.
I just want to finish off with a quick little process around our NAIDOC theme, and that's, you know, healing country and... A little statement here. So healing country is more than changing words in the national anthem. It's about historical, political and administrative landscapes adapting to successfully empower and celebrate Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, nations and heritage. We are all looking for a significant and lasting change. We cannot afford to let pass and very real opportunities that now present itself for reform based on fundamental changes in the relationship of in the relationship Australia has with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. There's an opportunity and something for us to go forward with about those opportunities and taking those opportunities. Well, we've come to the end of the show today, Lorraine.
That went rather quickly,
It did go quickly,
yeah.
But thank you for coming. And listeners, we're going to sign off.